Okay, Genesis chapter 27. Keeping in mind what our Lord said there in Matthew 10, verse 21. I'll repeat that verse. The Lord said, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Father, the child, the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Brother against brother. God's sovereign providence is amazing how the scriptures tie together. Genesis 27, I've been wanting to get back into Genesis for some time, but we've had an ongoing Bible conference. But it was amazing to me as I turned back over here and started reading it again how this just fit in perfectly with what we studied this morning and what I just repeated to you, what the Lord said. Brother against brother is exactly the case here of Esau and Jacob. Let's read again with verse 41. This is where we left off the last time we studied here. It says, "Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand," or that is, my dad's going to die soon, "and then I'm going to kill my brother, Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee to comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" This is exactly the brother against brother. What our Lord said is exactly what happened here. It is exactly what Cain and Abel, took place with them in the very beginning. Ever since there have been siblings, and as always as there will be this conflict. But this is more than a sibling rivalry. This is more than two brothers just vying for the attention or the affection of their parents. This is a picture, a very clear picture, of the sons of Adam who are against the sons of God. A very clear picture. And we saw one other time when we were studying here, how that within ourselves, this is a picture of the struggle within us, how the old man is against the new man. That old nature is against that regenerated man created in Christ. All right. What was the cause for this enmity? Why did Esau hate Jacob? Why did he hate him? Look at verse 41. Here's the answer. It says that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. It wasn't Jacob he necessarily hated. Did you notice his words? He said, "That old man's going to be dead soon." That's not respect, is it? That's not love. He hated Jacob because of the blessing that Isaac had blessed Jacob with. He hated him because of that blessing. That reminded me of Genesis chapter 4. Turn back over there. Genesis chapter 4. That reminded me of Cain and Abel. Very similar. Genesis chapter 4. Look at this again. And this is, this is the very foundation. Genesis means beginning. And I advise anyone, if you want to know the truth of doctrine, you need to study where it all began. Genesis means beginning. And here in Genesis 4, we have the beginning of all religions. All religions can be found under two headings. All religions. There's either the religion of Cain or the religion of Abel. Cain, well, look at it. Genesis 4, verse 4. It says Abel, or verse 3. Genesis 4, verse 3. In the process, now there's two brothers coming to worship God. They both knew that you go to church on Sunday. So they both were coming to worship God. And look at what they both brought. Look at how they each came to worship God. And one was rejected, one was accepted. Verse 3, in the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. He brought what he did, his works. His works. And Abel, verse 4, he also brought something, the firstling of his flock, and the fat thereof. Fat, that means he killed this sheep or this lamb. He killed a lamb, shed its blood, and he brought that. And it says here, and the Lord, verse 4, had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God accepted Abel because of his offering. But Cain, verse 4, and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain got mad. And you know the rest of the story. Cain killed Abel. Why? Because God accepted Abel and his offering and rejected Cain. Those are two religions. Two religions. The religion of man's works, how he can get to God by being a good boy or a good girl or whatever they do for God. Or he's going to get there by the blood and the righteousness of a substitute, Jesus Christ. There's only two. Only two religions. And God rejects hands down, thumbs down, everybody that brings the one work of theirs to be accepted. One work. Because Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousnesses, that means religious works, are filthy rags. Know what it says? But it says, Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. His righteousness is a pure, spotless garment that he puts on his people, and God accepts them. Two religions. And it's always been so, and it will always be so, that those who are rejected, those who believe God ought to accept what they've done, get mad at and hate those who merely come by faith in Christ alone. Right? Because of the blessing. The blessing. That's why Esau hated Jacob. That's why Cain hated Abel. God accepted him. It wasn't because of him. It wasn't hit at all. Sovereign, I'm talking about sovereign electing grace is what I'm talking about. More specifically. Sovereign electing grace. Now, God told Rebekah before these boys were born what was going to happen, didn't it? He said, the elder shall serve the younger. Henry, Isaac knew that. He knew that. Yes, he did. But he sought to change it, didn't he? It can't be changed. Remember that? It can't be changed. Isaac was going to bless was going to bless Esau. It couldn't be done. The elder was going to serve the young. God said that. God said it. God said it. And you know, John, you know that Jacob and Esau probably heard that too. You know they did. But they all sought to change it. But God had purposed it, and it wasn't going to be changed. God had purposed one over the other. God's choice of one over the other. God's elect sovereign, electing great. And it's the same today. It's the same today. If you dare to say that God has chosen a people, that God has elected some people to salvation and not all, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And this is their argument. Why? God loves everybody. They'll say every man deserves a chance. But the fact of the matter is, people, every man deserves hell. Jacob deserved to be rejected just like Esau, didn't he? Esau deserved what he got, didn't he? He sold his birthright for a bowl of oatmeal. Showed how much he cared for religion. I'm hungry. Forget that. If it had been today, it had been like going to the races. He didn't care about religion, didn't care about God. He deserved to be rejected. So did Jacob. But God made Jacob to differ. God says, but I've loved Jacob. And that's what it said there in Malachi. It said, wherein dost thou love us? He said, was not Esau thy brother? Yet I loved Jacob. And Esau I hated. Sovereign electing love. Sovereign electing grace. That's the point of contention. Here's the answer in a question. Here's the answer to salvation in a question. Oh, the wisdom of God in a line of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 4:7, I believe it is. Who maketh thee to differ? That's a question, but that's the answer, isn't it? Who maketh thee to differ? Yes. That's right. Who maketh thee to differ? Who makes you different? You have any brothers or sisters, Henry? Do they love the gospel? Who maketh you the difference? Why do you love the gospel now? Who? Somebody made you the difference. Sovereign electing grace. Now you don't rise up against that, do you? They do. They do. That's the answer of why some people are saved and others not. Sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, distinguishing, discriminating grace. God discriminates. God discriminates. Discriminating grace. But not unfairly. Not unfairly. God is no respecter of persons, the Scripture said, because there's nobody worth respecting. You see. The Scripture says, in the Psalm says, what is man that God would be even mindful of him? Scripture calls man a worm. What is man? If you look down on this mass of humanity writhing in filth and iniquity like it is, if we look at it as it is, as God sees it, we would see a cesspool of iniquity. Look down on the inner cities. Open the roofs and houses, the roofs of the houses of even just this little country town, and you'll see filth, mankind wallowing in it. God, and God sees the heart. What is man that God would even pay any attention to? That he'd save any of them? Well, God is rich in mercy. And he loves some, and he chooses to save one, some. He said, I will be merciful. That's great, isn't it? Isn't that glorious? Exodus 33, he says, I will be merciful. To whom I will be merciful. The glory is that God's merciful to anybody. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are guilty. The Scripture says the wages of sin is death. That's what man, all men and women deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, said, I will be merciful. Doesn't have to, John. He didn't have to. But he said, I will. But here's my divine prerogative, he said, as God. I'm the creator. I'm the owner of all things. Cannot I do with my own what I will? He says, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'm going to choose who I'm going to be merciful to. And he says, goes on to say, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Now, sinners don't argue that. They just glory that God chooses anybody, especially themselves. See, the Scripture says all are guilty and deserving of condemnation. People quote John 3:16 all the time, but they don't quote John 3:18. They don't quote John 3:14. They have bursitis, don't they, Stan? Bursitis, not bursitis. Henry has that. Bursitis. They pull a verse out and they base all their theology on one verse. You can't do that. You have to take it all in context. The whole counsel of God. John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Already condemned. All men and women by nature are unbelievers, and they're under the condemnation and wrath of God. But God chooses some. You see? He doesn't elect anybody to hell, does he, Rick? That's where they're headed. But God, in sovereign electing grace, says, you're not going. You're not going, and you're not, and a number which no man can number. One would be glorious, infinite, condescending mercy. But he says, I've got a people I've elected more than the stars of heaven. You're not going, you, not going. You're coming to Christ. You got any problem with sovereign election? It's the glory of God. Glory of God. God chooses some, and he merely passes by others and gives them what they deserve. The men and women say, but all men deserve a chance. All right, let's give them one. Let's give them one. Will you believe and bow to and worship, and yes, they use the word accept, this sovereign God who reigns and rules over all, who chooses whom he will, who elects whom he will, who, and this Christ who is Lord over all and does what he will with whom he will, has the keys of hell and death at his side, and his blood is only for the elect. The man is dead in trespasses and sins. The Scripture says that God must elect the people, and Christ's blood saves everyone he died for, and the Holy Spirit must call or they won't come, and so on and so forth, and they will be preserved. Will you believe that? Let's give them a chance. Ask them. Will you have this man, this one, this God reign over you? You know what they'll say? Unequivocally. Is that the word? Without exception. What did they say back when Christ, preachers like to say this, all right, what will you do with Jesus? Don't preachers like to say that? He's in your hands to accept or reject. What will you do with Jesus? You know what they said back then when Christ was on there? Give us Barabbas. Crucify this Jesus. You know what they say today? Give him a chance, so to speak. Will you believe that the God of the Bible, sovereign grace, will say, no, we don't want it. All right, you had your chance. But God makes his people willing in the day of his power. Right, John? Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be made willing, all the people God elects and chooses to believe, they will believe. He says one day, in sovereign, discriminating power, to somebody like old Joe Parks, Will you have this man reign over you? And Joseph says, I most certainly will. Gladly. Gladly. Who maketh thee to differ? The answer is in the question. The answer is in the question. Abel was no better than Cain. Jacob was no better than Esau. Believers are no better than the people of this world by nature. Right? There's nothing in anyone to cause God to show mercy. It's all in himself. And I told you, Cain and Abel, they both were taught the way to come to God, blood. Cain was taught how to come to God, just like Abel, blood. Adam taught him that. What did Cain do? Don't like that. I don't like that substitution stuff. I don't like that. I like my works. I like what I've done. Surely God will like it too. No, he won't. Abel, they talked by the way. Remember that? When it says that Cain and Abel talked by the way, that's what they were talking about. Abel was telling his brother John, he was telling him, God won't be spoken to or speak to or have anything to do with a sinner like us set by blood. You know what Daddy told us, Cain? Blood. It's the blood to make the atonement for the soul. And that's a picture of the Christ who's to come, the only one accepted by God, the only man approved of God, the perfect substitute, the sinless sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world, who will come and shed his blood for the remission of our sin, be our substitute in our stead. That's the only way a holy God can have us. You know that, Cain. Daddy taught us that for 700 years now. Or however long they live. Long time. And Kate said, I don't like that. We'll see. And then he found out, didn't he, what God would accept. And here in our story, Esau and Jacob, they were both sons of Adam. They were both sinners. But God chose one over the other. Why? Jacob's a good boy. Oh, which one would you have chosen, Stan? Which one, now really, of these two would you have chosen? Esau. Wouldn't you? Rick, I know you would. Huh? Who would you have chosen? I would have chosen Esau. Jacob was a conniving, scheming little mama's little nerd. Mama's boy, Esau was a strong, robust fella. Seemed like he just delighted in going out and hunting for his daddy and bringing him good meat home and all that. Just a fine, good old boy, you know. And Jacob was a rotten little snake. He was planning this thing all along. Steal his brother's birthright, wasn't he? Planning it. And caught him at a time of weakness and schemed it out of him, didn't he? What a rotten little runt. But that's who God chose. That's who God chose. In spite of him. And that's what you say about yourself, isn't it? That's what I say. I look at somebody like Charles Ross over there, I think. If I was the Lord, I'd choose Charles. He wouldn't choose me. Isn't that what you say? You look at somebody you admire and respect. But God chooses sinners. And this is how the Lord dealt with Jacob. Rebekah called him. Look at this. It says, the second time Rebekah called him. Look at this, verse 42. It says, Rebekah sent and called Jacob, her younger son. You remember back in this same chapter how that Rebekah represented the Holy Spirit, how he called one hope of your calling. Stan, is one hope of you receiving the blessing from the Father, and that is the Holy Spirit calls you and instructs you how to come to the Father to obtain the blessing. Otherwise, you wouldn't know, would you? You weren't seeking him. And Rebekah called him. You remember back in the same chapter, Rebekah called Jacob and said, come here. You need to be blessed by the Father. And this is how you're going to get it. You remember that? And the Holy Spirit's got to call us the same. Come here. John, come here. Come here and hear this gospel. Come here. Come up. Come here. Where?
down here, wherever you heard it the first time. Right down here. It's not everywhere. Come here and hear this gospel. This is how you're going to obtain the blessing. This is how you're going to be accepted by God. Come here. Come. And you came by His sovereign mercy. And Rebekah instructed him. She revealed. See, the blessing for Jacob was revealed by Rebekah, wasn't it? It was a revelation. Jacob didn't know. And Rebekah revealed unto him, now here's the plan. Here is it. You're going to have to appear to be just like Esau. You're going to have to smell like him, look like him, feel like him. You're going to have some venison your daddy likes. You're going to have everything. You're going to have to be like, if your father's going to bless you, you're going to have to be just like the eldest son. It's a revelation one. He didn't know that. And the Holy Spirit reveals that to us in the gospel. He said, Polly, if you're going to be blessed by a holy God, you're going to have to be just like Jesus Christ. He can't accept you like you are. It's not good enough. You're going to have to smell like Christ. You're going to have to look like Him, feel like Him. You're going to have that blood applied to you. You're going to have that sweet savor of Christ all over you. For the Father who smells sin, who sees all, knows all, He can't have any of it on you. He can't have anything to do with you. Like a surgeon. Why are they so careful to scrub and in the operating room and so forth? Why are they so careful to sterilize all the instruments? They want to keep out anything that will defile it. God Almighty is the same way in His holiness. God Almighty is holy and loves righteousness. Says the righteous Lord loveth righteousness and He hateth iniquity. And He cannot even look upon sin. He won't have one sin in His presence. How us sinners, we're all together sin. Going to be holy. Be in His presence. God sterilize us. Got to wash us. How? In the blood. In the blood. Blood's the only thing God can't see through. And Rebekah clothed old Isaac, or old Jacob. Remember that? Rebekah clothed him. Said, come here, son. Come here, come here. Let me tell you something. I want to reveal something to you. You need the blessing. You need it. Now, here's how it's going to happen. And she said, now, I'm going to go get the sacrifice. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to make you just like Esau. Just stand there and see what I'm going to do. And the Holy Spirit says the same thing to us, doesn't it? Stand still. Don't do anything. Stand there and be saved. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're passive in this thing. Holy Spirit says, watch what I'm going to do. And He clothes us in Christ's righteousness and imparts His righteousness and gives us faith, applies the blood to us. And the Father blesses Jacob. You remember the story? The Father blessed Jacob. Old Isaac blessed Jacob in the stead of Esau. You want the gospel in a line? In the stead of. Genesis 22. Abraham killed that ram in the stead of his son. That's substitution. Somebody taking his place. And so Jacob was made to appear like Esau, and the father accepted him. Well, Esau, you know what Esau cried later on? Not fair. Remember that? Remember how we read in Hebrews 12? Look down at verse 34. Remember when we read in Hebrews 12:17 where it says that Esau, when he heard of this, he sought repentance with tears and couldn't find it? Esau, this is it. Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a great, exceeding, bitter cry. That's not fair. And isn't that the clarion cry in today's generation against sovereign grace? That's not fair. Like I said before, Esau sold his birthright.
didn't it? It's not as if, and for lack of a better word, he didn't, so to speak, have a chance. Did he, Sam? He sold his birthright. He said, I'm not interested. All of a sudden, he's interested. And so will everybody when it comes to a sickness or a deprivation, to become deprived of something or some trial or at the deathbed. Everybody's going to say, but, bless me. Right? Bless me. That's not fair. And Esau said, he doesn't deserve it. He does not deserve it. Verse 36, he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? He doesn't deserve this blessing. That's what Esau said about, well, I'm better than him. That's what Esau said about his brother. I'm just as good as him. And Isaac, if he said anything back to him, he said, true, that's right, you're both rotten to the core. Both of you boys ain't fit for nothing. You remember verse 33? But Isaac said, but I've blessed him. And yea, he's going to be blessed. He doesn't deserve it, I know it, but I've blessed him. And he's going to be blessed. Well, I'm as good as he is, no doubt about it. You're both no good at all. But I've chosen him, I've blessed him. And yea, he shall be blessed. And that made Esau mad. And it made Jacob glad, didn't it? What made Esau stark, raving mad made Esau or Jacob absolutely unbelievably glad. Didn't it? The Father's blessed me, and nothing can be done about it. Hear what Isaac said to me? I'm blessed and I shall be blessed. And it's the same today, isn't it? God's electing grace is despised by self-righteous, worthy people, good, sweet, kind, civil, moral, religionists, you know. Oh, it's despised, but oh, I tell you, old, unworthy, guilty, rotten sinners love it. Oh, how they love it. They love him, but choose him. They love the God who chooses. Because men and women can't do anything about this arrangement, this way of salvation, and they cannot disprove it from scriptures, they absolutely despise verses, portions of scripture like Ephesians 2 and Romans 9. So absolutely despise it. And believers absolutely love it. You can hear a man preach on Ephesians 2 10 times in a row and not get enough of it, right? Or Romans 9, right? And because men and women cannot disprove it, it's there. God, it's as if God says, what I've written is written. He does say that. What the Lord hath spoken, what the Lord hath written, it shall be done. I've blessed, and yea, he'll be blessed. I've chosen, and yea, that I do the choosing. I've elected, and yea, they'll be elect, and nobody else. And it's not as if people can't be saved that want to. That's not it at all. Nobody wants to. All who want to, God gave them the want to. And the reason they want to is because God elected them to want to. Right? God gives them the want to. Man's will is dead. He will not. Christ said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. You could have said that about me when I was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. You will, that boy just will not come to Christ that he might have life. But God said, yes, he will. How? I'll make him willing. I'm the Lord over the will. Watch my power. Well, he won't come. Watch him. He's the last person. The last should be first. Watch him. Here he comes. I can't believe it. Here he comes. That's the power of our God, isn't it? Men today say God can't work against man's will. Whew. I don't need a God like that. I wouldn't be saved today. If that were a God, I wouldn't be saved today. Because I would not come that I might have life. I will not come. Well, look back at Matthew 10 with me, would you, just for a moment, Matthew 10. Christ said, the brother shall rise up against brother. That's what happened with Cain and Abel and Jacob and Esau. Brother against brother, father against child, children against parents. Hated by all men for my name's sake, he said. Hated by all. But, and some of you have experienced this already. Just dare to go home and tell people what great things the Lord hath done. They'll let you get religion. They'll let you accept Jesus. They'll let you do, you know, what you do. Give up your drink and smoke. Just don't go talking this sovereign grace stuff. Right? They'll take anything but that. Don't be talking. Right? You know it's so. You know it's so. So. They like you religious, but they don't want you saved. And it isn't that they hate you. It's the God that you believe now that they hate. That's what the Lord said. It isn't you they hate, Moses. It's me. It's me. The gospel brings peace to your heart, to the heart of an old sinner. It brings peace, but it brings war in the family. Look at it here in Matthew 10, verse 34. Remember this? The Lord said, don't think that I'm come to send peace on earth. He's come to make peace between some sinners and God. But not make peace on earth. But war. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man at variance against his father. Is this tender Jesus, sweet, meek, and mild, that the Catholics like to say about him? Tender Jesus, meek, and mild. He said, I'm come to make a man and his father at enmity against one another. Well, I thought he was all love and create love in the family. If Jesus comes in the family, everybody's love, love, love. No. That's not what he said, is it? That's not the way it is. Some of you have experienced that. That's not the way it is. Oh, if you talk about this Jesus they're talking about today, they will. There's nothing wrong with that. They won't get mad. But talk about the Lord of glory, sovereign, electing Lord, you got a fight on your hand. Right, Jeanette? Right, Mary? Right? Some of you? Right, Heather? There's some people I just named who, parents just will not allow them to talk about that. Oh, blessed are you, Jeanette Berry. Just blessed are you, Mary Parks. See, I've come to set a daughter against her mother. Why? For Christ's name's sake. Just for His name's sake. Just for His name's sake. And people, this is proof of the utter enmity of man against God when blood relations get mad at blood relations over what they believe. They don't kick you out for being a Democrat, do they? Well, for being a Republican. You are a Republican, aren't you? They don't kick you out for your political persuasions, would they? Oh, you might have a few arguments and so forth, but they won't want to kick you out and disown you. They'll sure disown you for believing the sovereign God, won't they? Listen to this. Listen, Mary. Mary? That's a good name, isn't it? Huh? Listen, Mary. No man hath left, no woman hath left father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he or she shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers, sisters and mothers,
children and lands with persecution. Doesn't mean it's all going to be roses, hunky-dory. And in the world to come, eternal life. And over there in Psalm 27:10, John, it says, though my father and my mother forsake me, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Who really matters anyway? Huh? And it causes you great grief and anguish when your very blood relations come down on you. But, my, you got fathers and mothers. You got people that love to mother you, don't you? Fathers and mothers, and your brother and sister won't have anything to do with you because of what you believe. You got plenty here, hundredfold. Not just in this little group. There are churches all over. Brother, houses and lands. You got houses everywhere with persecution. The Lord promises that, persecution. And every now and then He'll send you a Shimei to curse you. Like me. A fellow named Shimei one time, David was traveling, and a fellow named Shimei came out and started cussing David out. He called him a dog. Called David the king. Cursed him. And Abishai, whoever David's right-hand man was, says, I'm going to go cut his head off. David said, no. The Lord sent him to cuss me. I need a good cussing around. Send him to cuss me. Why? Why does the Lord allow this? All of this, listen, this persecution that I was talking about, Deborah, the Lord sends it. These people are secondary causes. The Lord sends them to persecute you. The Lord, just like the Lord sent that fellow to cuss David out. He was wrong. He lied on him. He was wrong. But the Lord sent him. And the Lord brings this persecution to you. He's sovereign, isn't he? And He tells people, persecute her. Why? Why? He said, I'm come to send a sword. He sent it, didn't he? He sends the persecution. Why? He creates the enmity. Why? Give you a couple of reasons, all right? Good reason. Number one, to keep us humble. Keep us humble. Good cussing will humble you. Believe me. It'll humble you. Keep you humble. Number two, it'll start you crying. Calling on the Lord. Lord, help. Calling on the Lord. Number three, because if everything was just smooth and rosy and everybody was your buddy and there were no problems in this earth, would you want to leave it? If everybody was your friend and everything was going smooth and no trials, no trouble, no persecution, if everybody just got along real well, why would you want to leave this place? You'd find all your happiness. You'd find all your friends. But you can't. You can't have fellowship with darkness. They don't want your fellowship. They don't want you. So what does that make you do, Sherry? It makes you sick and tired of this world. Doesn't it? You say, I've had it. I don't need them. I need my brothers and sisters. Number four, I didn't write that down. It makes you need God's people all the more, doesn't it? I've had it, Mom, Dad. I've had it. I'm going somewhere where somebody loves me. Where somebody loves my Lord and this gospel that I hold so dear. That's where I'm going. Now, you can sit here and rot all you want. I'm going to hear the gospel and be with a people who want to worship the living God. It makes you appreciate them so much more. So that you won't find anything here. You'll get tired of this place. Get tired of the people of this place. When did I start? Brother Fred Wood says when I go down there, he said, don't bring your watch down here. He said, we've got a calendar. He said, that's all you need, calendar. He quit sometime tomorrow. That's what they said to Paul, I guess. We preached all night. Well, I'm not preach much longer. But you've got to see this, though. And I hope all of that gave you some comfort. Gave you some comfort. You have here no continuing city, and you have here no continuing family. Your mama and daddy aren't going to be your mama and daddy in heaven. There are no relations like that in heaven. Your husband or wife are not going to be your husband and wife in heaven. The Lord said that. In heaven, there's no marriage or given in marriage, but they're all as the angels of God. No male or female. There are no roles. If mama was my mama, that'd make her bigger, better than me, wouldn't it? If daddy was my daddy in heaven, that'd make me less than him. No, we're all the same. We're all going to be brethren in heaven. If mama's there, she's going to be my sister. I won't know her as mama. If she's my sister, I'll rejoice to see her. If she's not there, I won't be disappointed. You see? Because who are my mother? Who are my brethren? The Lord said. These that do the will of God, behold my mother. Behold my father. Behold my brethren. Them that love, that have the same father. And when we get in heaven, there aren't going to be any relations. God's going to be our father. Christ will be our mother, our brother, our all. Right? And if he's all, you don't need anybody else at all. And you won't be disappointed if you don't see anybody else at all. All right. I hope that blessed you a little bit. But you got to see this. All right? Genesis 27 again. Genesis 27 is a beautiful type of Christ right here. A beautiful type of Christ. In this story, look at it. Genesis 27 again. We got four characters here in just a few minutes. Esau represents the law of God, the justice of God that's on our trail. Jacob represents us, the sinner. Rebekah represents the Holy Spirit. And the fellow named Laban, dwelling in Haran, that represents Christ. All right, let's look at it. It says verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, I'm going to slay my brother. You know the law is against us? You read that, Terry, in Colossians 2. The handwriting of ordinances that's against us. The law of God is against us. You that desire to be under the law, Paul said, don't you hear it? It says, die, sinner. That's what the law said. People want to keep the law, John. They don't understand it. Because the law says you deserve to die. You're guilty on every point. To offend in one point, guilty of it all. You don't just try to keep what you can and the Lord will make up the rest. No, guilty on all points. The law says die. That's all the law says to an old sinner. Die. You deserve to die. The law is on our trail. The law and the justice of God demands our death. The soul that sinneth, and who doesn't, shall surely die. Verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And Rebekah sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, your brother Esau is going to kill you. The Holy Spirit of God, the first thing he does to an old sinner is warn them, God's law is against you. You deserve to die, and you're going to die. Unless. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit of God warns a sinner, does to a sinner. He doesn't come with this message they're preaching today, God loves you. No. No prophet in all of the Bible ever said that one time. One time. Ever came into a city or stood up in a pulpit or stood to preach and said, everybody, God loves you. None of them said that. None of the apostles ever in any of their sermons ever said that. God loves you. First thing out of their mouth, God loves you, and Jesus died for you. Never. They never said that. That's all they're saying today, isn't it? They're liars. All of the books of Acts is filled with the sermons of the apostles. You know, the word love is not even mentioned. One time. Not one time. In all the sermons recorded by the apostles in the book of Acts. Not one time. That's telling me that the preachers today aren't preaching the message, Henry, are they? What's the message for? God is holy. What Jonah come preaching? Repent. God's holy. Going to destroy this city. Repent. You sinned against the holy God. That's the first message. We've sinned. Jesus Christ came preaching the first words out of his mouth. Repent. Didn't he? Repentance toward a holy God whom we've sinned against. God is angry with the wicked every day. The law is against us. Justice must be satisfied. He warns us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Warns us. What does he say there in John 16, Brother Ed? He says, when the Holy Spirit is come, when he is come, he will convince the world of what? What? Sin. Sin. And righteousness and judgment. Not love. Right? Once a man's convinced of his condemnation and his utter guilt before God, then the Holy Spirit says, God loves you. But God loves you. And Christ died for you. Right? Then and then only. All right, look at it. You'll see it right here. She warned old Jacob, your brother's after you. He's going to kill you. Look at her advice to him. She says she called, look at that. Didn't it say she called Jacob? She sent and called him. And she said to him, your brother's going to kill you. Verse 43, now therefore, my son, listen to me now. Listen to me now. Jacob, do you have ears? Then hear me. Listen to me now. Arise. Flee to my brother, Laban. He's in Haran. You'll be safe there. The Holy Spirit says, listen to me, sinner. Listen to me. The law's on you. You're guilty. You deserve to die. Listen to me. Would you listen? Be obedient to the faith now. Arise and go to the Savior at Calvary. Go to this, flee to that city of refuge. You'll be safe there. Run to Christ at Calvary and stay there. Look at it, verse 44. You stay there with him till the fury be turned away. Isn't that glorious? You stay right there. Tarry there until the fury be turned away. You stay at the foot of the cross till God shows you they're gone. Justice is satisfied. The law is not against me anymore. It's been satisfied. Christ magnified the law. I see now why he came and lived. He magnified the law and made it honorable for me. He kept the law for me. I see why he lived now. You see why he died. I see why he died now. My sins had to be paid for. I had to die. The soul that sins must surely die. I see why he's dying now. He didn't deserve it. I did. He's doing that for me. I see now. Do you see now? I see now why he died, why he came, why he lived, why he died, and where he is now. And we look to him. And verse 45 says, until your brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget what you've done to him. He forget. You stay right there with my brother. The Holy Spirit says of Christ, his brother, that you stay with him, sinner, until the wrath be passed, until his fury is gone, until the law forgets what you've done to him. And the God who never forgets said, he finally said, God says, the God who never forgets said, their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. They're gone. They're gone. That's beautiful, isn't it? What the accuser said, but he's guilty. God said, no, he's innocent. He's righteous. The accuser says, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. He's done everything there is to do. God says, all right, let's look. He opens the books. Can't find a thing. No, I can't find a thing against him here. Not one thing written against him. There is therefore now no condemnation. He opens the book and it's all red. Every page is red. Blotted out. All the black marks blotted out. Red. Covered with blood. It was all written down at one time. Not there anymore. Gone. Blotted out. That's beautiful. All right. Stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, your word is so marvelous, so glorious, deep, so deep. We get into it and we feel like we've fathomed a full, deep ocean, yet we come back out of it and realize we just touched our foot in it, not even ankle deep. Just a drop of water from your finger, and the vastness and the fullness of your word. One little obscure passage. Thy people shall see out of obscurity. One little short portion, 3 or 4 verses. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is revealed in wonder and amazement. How we thank you for this book, revealing it to us. Those revealed things belong unto us. Your chosen people. How we thank you. Secret things belong to thee. We pray that you will reveal more of your glory unto us. Show us thy glory, Lord. Show us thy way. Show us thy glory. Christ, bless these words, Lord, to the comfort of those who are persecuted. Your words, speak to them as you did to your disciples in that day that they were recorded. Speak to us as really as you spoke to them. Speak in comfort to those who are persecuted, yea, even by their own families and friends. Speak to them. Speak peace to their hearts. And give them strength. Keep them by your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.